good governance that we ask our nonprofits to do all day long, but we're not applying that kind of writ large in these conversations.
Nils, turning back to you, we know rural communities struggle with affordable and reliable energy delivery, especially when storms or earthquakes damage them. Renewable systems, wind, solar, offer redundancy and backup and also alternatives to expensive fuel. $5 billion in clean energy infrastructure funds were frozen in early February. Do you have any information about whether any of the renewable energy funds will be unfrozen at some point?
Yeah, and maybe just really quickly on the previous question too. When it comes to, you know, should Alaska be more self-reliant, I'm struck by, you know, the, you know, statements at statehood back in, you know, 1959, when Alaska wasn't considered a worthwhile investment, when people said that Russia has sold us a sucked orange. And I don't want to live up to that prophecy, right? I don't want to think that Alaska is not worth investing in. And I hope our federal partners aren't feeling that way. We've got a governor who has highlighted just how extraordinarily rich we are in resources, how much more we have left to do. And that comes with investment. It comes with partnership. It comes with not just thinking about how to extract those resources, but how to invest in the people who live here. And I think then to tie it to the next question about the need to address energy affordability, security, and reliability, this is again a priority of our governor, who articulated a vision of 10-cent power across Alaska to a recent governor's energy security task force. Alaska can't do it on its own. It needs to have that partner at the federal and local and tribal level, and we have a long way to go to address the energy needs of our communities. If, in fact, those funds remain frozen, it will only set us back. We have had communities who are primed to move forward with renewables, with powerhouse upgrades, with grid resilience activities, all of whom are stopped work right now until they have a green light to move forward. And that's not going to contribute to the governor's vision for Alaska, nor our vision at statehood.
So, Nils, another area that was starting to ramp up in renewables was for electric vehicle charging stations. The Alaska Desk with Alaska Public Media reported last week that the State Energy Authority and Fairbanks Transportation Planners wanted to install nearly 100 EV ports in Fairbanks and more along the Richardson and Parks highways, starting this summer with $52 million from the federal National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program. You might guess where I'm heading with this. On February 6th, the Trump administration halted all new projects under this program. What do you hear from communities who want to install EV charging stations and make other energy upgrades about if this money may still come forward?
Yeah, I saw the, I think part of the news this morning that I was reading is that Curtis Thayer had noted that use of EVs in Alaska had quadrupled in recent years. So, I mean, I think in the same way that that government is providing basic infrastructure and, you know, other types of utilities, electric and water and wastewater, the, you know, roads that we drive on, it makes sense to think about a network of charging infrastructure that that it corresponds to the increase in demand for, you know, one type of vehicle or another. And I would also point to similar interest, you know, in the cruise ship industry or fishing industry as we're looking to and for solutions for high energy costs. So I think, you know, if we're not going to make investments in that charging infrastructure, it's again going to threaten some of the sustainability that we were working toward as we were aiming at becoming more self-reliant. And it will take investment you know, by the state and federal government to get there. But without it, we will be less sustainable.
Beyond program funds, how much do rural communities depend on federal help? We've been hearing about lost federal employees around Park Service and other things, but in communities across the state, how will those cuts affect people that are in the community doing services for local folks?
I think I was thinking about it this morning in terms of something we come back to quite often. So we refer to some communities as gateway communities. And so those are local governments who have federal lands within their jurisdiction and a really close working relationship with federal agencies, promoting not just the stewardship of those lands, but also access to and in support of a thriving travel and tourist economy, but also defense communities. And we have jurisdictions who are home to, you know, America's defense infrastructure. And they have cooperative agreements to address education and housing and infrastructure needs of both civilian and military personnel. That critical infrastructure is important to all of our communities, and I think scale matters. You know, there was a quote from the Denali Borough Mayor this morning that said, you know, we're worried about almost 10% of our community not having jobs you know, on the other side of this federal firing spree. So I think that's important, right? With smaller communities comes an outsized impact when we're talking about people losing their jobs. Those are our neighbors, our classmates, fellow business people, and so on. And they're an important part of our economy and community.
Yeah. Lori, what's known today about funding for what are truly needed programs in Alaska, social safety net programs, people who need help getting food, domestic violence shelters, assistance with housing?
Yeah, so I mean, the survey that we have, right, paints a very bleak picture of the absence of those services if we lose federal funds, both now or in the future. You know, I think you're talking about this, you know, the social safety net is really the nonprofit sector is holding up that social safety net as it, in partnership and in agreement with state and local and federal government. I mean, this was the we created the system to work this way. And so, again, if you take out the funding component of it, I think we see them disappear. We see the safety net disappear. And, you know, unless the state of Alaska wants to come in and fund it all by themselves, which we don't. We haven't heard from them, so we don't know if that's possible. I think you also, you know, it raises a question for me, not just about this current fiscal year, but the next fiscal year for the, we've talked about, you know, this issue of impoundment of current funding and the lawsuits that are going on, but we are also now looking at organizations who are applying or could be applying for the next round of federal funds coming from the government. And we know, for example, we saw a message already coming from the Office of Violence Against Women at the federal level saying, you can't apply. Well, that will impact every domestic violence shelter, rape crisis centers, child advocacy centers, which deal with children who have experienced sexual violence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they are not being allowed to apply for the next round of funding. And we will see we could see if those organizations have no other resources, which many of them don't, we would see them close their doors.
We only have about a minute left here. What do you both want Alaskans to do? What can they do to help just make their voices heard in this moment?
Well, I'd like them to use their voice. I would like them to. I think Alaskans, we often don't understand how services are delivered in our communities. We like them, we appreciate them, we would be lost without them, but we don't always know how they come. And so, really, just taking stock, looking around yourself, and understanding how those services are delivered and what kind of partnerships exist for that to happen, whether it's nonprofits and local governments working together, or nonprofits in the state, or whoever that is, and really taking stock, and then using their voice, having conversations with their elected officials, and raising concerns about the need for those services in their community.
Thank you, Lori. And Nils, final word from you.
Yeah, I think our congressional delegation has an amazingly challenging job to navigate through a very complex political environment. They have been very responsive to a very detailed request for where something is stuck. Can they help get it unstuck? When it comes to some of the broader policy we have to work through, a budget process and the politics around a new administration and those priorities. But we have a great congressional delegation. They're doing a lot already. We want to make sure they've got the information they need to keep making a difference on behalf of their constituents. Make sure that the legislature kind of knows what this looks like within your community.
All right.
While the state's working on fiscal policy, there's a lot more work to be done.
Thank you. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much to Lori Wolf, President and CEO of the 4-Acre Group, to Nils Andreasen, Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League. Thanks to our engineering team, Chris Hyde on the board today, our producer, Madeline Rose, and on the phones, Wesley Early helped us out. And I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back next Tuesday. Have a great week.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.
You are listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sand Point, Alaska.
KSDP, 830 AM in Sand Point. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Sand Point and King Cove. GCI offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and pricing as in Anchorage. More information is available at gci.com/internet.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sand Point. Sand Point is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern